I scream, you scream. Seems we're all screaming about the amount of time we spend on screens these days, especially for kids. They spend an average of 7 to 10 hours in front of a screen every single day, according to the Mayo Clinic. This is especially a hard challenge for parents like Mandy Hammond of Des Moines, Iowa, who before the pandemic was trying to limit her kids' screen time. Mandy joins us now. And Mandy, you have two teens and a 12-year-old, and you and I both have been on this quest to limit screen time. What were you doing to cut down the time before the pandemic, and how difficult has it been now?
Oh, my goodness. It was definitely on my radar before the pandemic, and it was an issue in our home for sure. So the main thing we were doing was we were trying to have our screen-free Sundays. You know, it was much easier, I think, back in those days before the pandemic, because we had school, we had social outings, we had church, things like that, that we were, you know, naturally going to, that we didn't have to be on a screen. So definitely when the pandemic hit, all of that changed.
How much of your children's screen time right now is school versus play?
Oh my goodness, so much of it is school. In our home, especially, we have gotten to a point where there's not a lot of time for leisure screens now, because probably 4 to 6 hours are spent on a screen doing school. And that starts to get very taxing on everybody.
Yeah. You know, there's been quite a bit of research that shows an increase in depression and anxiety in teenagers when they spend a lot of time on screens of all kinds. What has been the mood of your children and their behavior lately?
They were just really down because of their social outlets being taken away. But what we figured out was the social media is what was causing that depression and that anxiety, because they were seeing what their friends might be doing. So we actually pulled back on the social media exposure. You would think it would be the opposite. And I think a lot of parents think it's going to do the opposite, but it actually helped, because what we started doing was getting together as a family and talking more. So we kind of started to make an effort to limit it even more during the pandemic.
You know, though, it's such a tough balance, though, Mandy, right? Because I think we've always known just how important social interaction is for our kids. They need to, to see their friends. I mean, obviously, it's not safe to allow them to hang out with their friends right now. How do you balance screen time, knowing that right now it may be one of the only ways for them to connect with their friends?
I used to think that if they didn't have their social media in front of them, that they would be left out. They would not be able to connect with friends. But we have found that to actually not be as true as I thought it was. And so what we've allowed is a lot of FaceTiming. You know, we have apps like Marco Polo, texting, obviously, but FaceTime's been a huge one. So they can still actually have real conversations with their friends. And it's not the same as being in person, but at least it is something. And it definitely fills their friendship tank, you know, when they can't be together in person.
Yeah. I mentioned you have a 12-year-old and two teenagers, and you have with you there your 15-year-old daughter, Lydia. Can I speak to her?
Yes, absolutely.
Hi.
Hey, Lydia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us. How are you adjusting to virtual learning and spending so much time of your day on the computer?
I mean, there's always pros and cons. I love that I can get my schoolwork done and pursue things that I want to do. But then there's always the con of it, of not having much of a social life when it comes to like other kids your age. I mean, I go to church and stuff, so that's how I get my social outlet. But it's really kind of sad to not be in that school environment. I mean, personally, I like online learning a little bit better than like real school, because I can just get it over with.
Oh, really? You can just plow through the assignments?
For sure.
How do you feel about your parents' rules about screen time these days?
At the beginning, for sure, I was kind of annoyed with it. But my testimony is the fact that social media was giving me extreme anxiety, where I couldn't leave the house and I was really dealing with mental health issues. And when they took that away and we had a conversation about it and we decided, like, hey, let's do this together, I really saw improvement. I'm more confident. So, I mean, a lot of times people are like, kind of what my mom was saying is like, you know, if they don't have social media, they don't have a social life. But that is the biggest myth I've ever heard. I mean, I could just see it in my friends, the light go from their eyes, because all they have is their screen. And so without having that, I've learned to talk to people and have real connection, real relationships. And I just really think it's great.
You know, this is a really interesting point that you're making, because I'm guessing even with your friends, it might not be obvious to their parents just how much they're going through by being on social media, maybe a depressive state, maybe they're feeling anxious. And they're not going to necessarily tell their parents, I'm feeling anxious and it's because I'm on Instagram or another social media platform.
Right. I think a lot of times it's not always the parents' fault, but it's not always the kids' fault either. It's having to do with this app that's designed to make you addicted. And so what parents and children are dealing with is the constant outside voice of social media dividing them. And I mean, that was happening with me and my parents. You know, I would get in fights about what I was seeing on Instagram. Like, it's fine. So-and-so on Instagram says it's fine. But, you know, my parents couldn't teach me how to live my life. And I think a lot of times, especially these days, parents just don't know how to parent because they have all of these outside voices on social media telling their kids how to live. And then that doesn't make the kids want to listen to their parents anymore because that's all they're hearing is from social media. I don't know if that makes any sense, but you know.
Oh, it makes complete sense, Lydia. Yeah. What advice would you have for other teens and younger people in the predicament just like you? School, at home, and they may have a cell phone too.
It's okay to have a social life outside of your phone. It's also okay to take a break from it. If you feel that your mental health is declining and you don't know why, just try a week without it and see how it goes.
Lydia, you're so wise. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can I have your mom back?
Yeah. You can tell she's passionate about it.
Oh, Mandy, you've got to be really proud, huh?
I am. I'm sitting here beaming because she's just come a long way in the last 9 months. All my kids, I'm so proud of all of them. They've really adapted well.
You making that note, they've come a long way in the last 9 months. I mean, a lot of parents might hear that and feel like, oh, wow, there is hope for us, because for many of us, we feel like it's actually gotten worse in the last 9 months because of this pandemic.
Yep, for sure. And I hope to be a light to parents. You know, in my involvement with the organization Screen Strong happened 9 months ago. It's kind of when I found them. And what I realized was there was this organization out there that was actually speaking to the issues I was having with my kids and screens. I guarantee you, had we not kind of pulled in the reins on screens when the pandemic started, we'd be in a worse spot for sure.
And we'll have all that information about programs like Screen Strong, which is a site and a program for families managing media and screen addiction, as well as several other resources. Mandy, thank you so much for talking with us. Thank you to Lydia as well for sharing your story.
Of course. Thank you so much for having us.
Our next guest has perhaps a more nuanced approach for parents who want to manage their kids' screen time. Michael Robb is Senior Director of Research at Common Sense Media, and he joins us now. Hey, Michael.
Hi, great to be here.
So we heard from parent Mandy, who told us how well her method of limiting her screen time has worked for her kids. However, you advise parents to not necessarily focus on how much time their kids spend in front of the screen and instead something else. Explain.
Yeah, I think for a while now, media researchers have really been advocating for a shift from thinking about screen quantity to more about quality. In other words, if kids are engaged with high quality content that is kind of fueling their imagination and their creativity, you know, who's to say that should end just because they've hit some kind of arbitrary screen limit? We also place a lot more emphasis on the context of media use. That is, it's not just how much kids are watching, but also, you know, are parents or other people watching with them, talking to kids about what they're seeing and hearing, and extending, you know, what they see on the screen out into the real world.
That makes sense. So, for instance, you know, a lot of school districts have these online libraries now for younger children to read books on. There is a difference of having your child spend time on those type of platforms versus, say, a social media platform.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things that is increasingly clear is that screen time is not equal. And we shouldn't act as though an hour of being on an online library through your school is the same as an hour of Zooming with your family, which is the same as an hour of a kid playing Fortnite, which is the same as an hour of watching, you know, Peppa Pig, right? These are all totally different kinds of experiences that are satisfying different needs for different kids at different times.
You say what many experts say, nothing can replace in-person interaction for your children, but using tech to strengthen relationships is more important than ever. What are some ways that kids can make meaningful social interactions and memories through tech?
So especially right now when schools around the country are, you know, beginning to close again, sometimes online interactions are what they have in order to be able to connect with their friends. And we shouldn't diminish the fact that those relationships and interactions they have with their friends online are real to them. And I don't want to imply that, you know, social media should be replacing in-person interactions, But if we know that, you know, kids and teens are getting enough sleep and getting healthy nutrition and doing their schoolwork, being active, and all the things that we know from 100 years of child development research are good for kids, then we shouldn't worry ourselves too much if they also want to be spending time talking to their friends on social media. But I think it is important to leave open a line of communication between parents and kids so that if kids are experiencing things that are questionable or, you know, make them sad or depressed on social media, that they can feel comfortable coming to a parent or to, you know, another caregiver or supporter to offer them help when they need it.
Michael Robb is a senior director of research at Common Sense Media. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.